hear you.
So we're not going to be going to church on Tuesday?
No, I'm going to try doing Zoom on Tuesday night. How would that work with you? Does that fit in your schedule? You're what? Kids have schedules too. Kids are people too. You people are people. You got your Bible ready? So you didn't answer me. So what is your favorite story in the whole Bible? Other than Jesus. Jesus has to be our favorite story, doesn't he? It's a remarkable story. What is your favorite story in the Bible? As loud as your mouth is, when you yell at Tekoa, Koa, you know that, that's what you say. So what's your story, favorite story in the Bible?
David and Goliath.
David and Goliath. Tekoa, what's your favorite story?
About Job.
Goodness. It's no problem. It's just that, hey, have you ever read Esther? I want you in Damascus to start read Esther and read about. You've read Esther, but I don't want you to read it in the King James Version. I want you to write it. I want you to read it in a version that has that you can understand it, because it's so you know who all the characters are.
Already.
Well, who are the characters in Esther?
Can I move down to the other end? Can I move down to that end?
Who are the characters in Esther?
I know, that's why I said,
Actually, I wouldn't be here this morning if the governor had made it mandatory to people over 65. The Surgeon General said it's 65-year-old people to stay at home. If they'd have made the mandate and put it part of that, I wouldn't be here. If it becomes mandated, I won't come. But for me, for no more people than are here, I can just
Oh no! But I'm just I'm fussed because I just have allergies and stuff already. So
we hear about your allergies all the time.
Sorry about that.
You got them. I'm Brandon Lowell, and there'll be you and Aaron and Tobias and everybody else who has allergies. That's one sickness and disease that I really would like for the Lord to touch, because now all of a sudden plants and things have been in the earth forever. Now everybody has allergies to them. So. I wonder what we're doing to our chemical makeup that makes us now so allergic to everything that comes along. We didn't used to be. I want to look at I have to find this story in Chronicles. One of them. Let me see. Chandra, look up Old Prophet. The Old Prophet. And see what you get.
Mother goes an Old Prophet in Bethel.
Yeah.
So first one, first one.
Let me see if that's what I want. Let's look at probably 1 Kings 13. We were talking about doing the will of God. And if you do the will of God. Yeah, that's it. Everybody turn to 1 Kings chapter 13. We probably won't be long today. I haven't decided yet where I'll stay for a full worship service, but maybe we'll sing a few songs. We need to have some God time.
Yes.
First Kings. Um. This is an interesting story about obeying God and about doing the will of God. This is Sandra. Have you stopped working yet?
Yes.
Are they considering you? Can you draw unemployment? Probably could if you get to the unemployment office.
I thank God because I'll be able to get administrative leave because the wing commander shut the base down instead of our the FSS commander. So while I'm off, I'll still be able to get paid.
You're getting paid while you're off?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, you are blessed of the Lord. So
yes,
thank you,
sir.
Jesus.
Because I wasn't supposed to.
That means that everybody in this church, not many of us, but everybody here, we all have a set paycheck. None of us are not being paid. That's a blessing. My heart goes out to all the people who are not being paid. It really does. Let's read the chapter 13 today, and starting at verse 1. Master, do you have a Bible in your hand? Okay. Does everybody think they can understand if I read in King James, or shall I read it in the Living Translation? King James, that's fine. Okay. Okay. Everybody get your movie screen. Get your imagination working. Get your imagination working. Damascus, a pink bunny. A pink bunny. No, you don't have to close your eyes. You saw it as soon as I said it. Did you not? Yeah. A red striped camel. See, you see it as soon as I say it. So if you pay attention, you'll see this as quickly as we read it. Stay with it, okay? This is coming in the middle of it, but I'm in 8:13. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. When you say behold in the man of Bible, and behold in the Bible, it means look or see or be aware. Or in this time, it's not behold as in look, lo and behold. It's behold as in pay attention. This is what happened. I'm declaring something. This is important. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and the men's bones shall be burnt thereon. This prophet comes, look up the master, so I know you're still with me. This prophet comes into Jerusalem, and they're in today's terms, they're in the temple, or they're in church, and they're getting ready to burn incense on the altar. When the Bible talks about burning incense on the altar, which they're supposed to do continually, that represents what we do in prayer. Something about the Bible. In the Old Testament, when the Bible uses what the Bible says in the Old Testament, in the natural, they really did these things. If I say to Sister Gamble, you need the Lord to part your Red Sea, what am I talking about, Sister Gamble?
I need the Lord to be able to deliver me.
Yeah, something really difficult or something really hard. Not literally part a Red Sea, but in the Bible, when it says that Moses parted the Red Sea, he literally parted
the Red Sea.
Okay? When we say that we're risen again in Christ Jesus, we're risen in the spirit. Jesus' body literally was risen from the dead. So, in the Bible, what we see is what they call types and shadows, or the things they did literally. For us, we do in the spirit, or the Lord works those in the spirit. In the Old Testament, they had to keep fire on the altar at all times. They literally had an altar that had fire burning at all times, and the fire was initiated by the Holy Spirit because the fire came down from heaven. And they had to keep incense on it at all times. It kept a nice smell going up. Now, One of the things that the incense did, one of the perks of the incense was they killed and slaughtered and did burnt offerings. Does anybody know how bad burnt meat smells?
Yes.
They were not if Damascus came in when he's a certain age and lost up his first lamb, they're going to cut this lamb into pieces, lay him on the altar, which represents Jesus Christ. You know, later, this, and when he brings this lamb, it says he believes that Christ is going to come, and they're going to lay it on the altar, and they're going to burn this offering. They're going to burn this offering. Now, some offerings, heave offerings, and various offerings, they didn't burn all the meat, and some of them they only burned certain things, and the rest of the meat was given to the priest who lived in the and who served the temple, because the Levites didn't have jobs; they were full time preachers. So much of the offerings and cows and cattle that they brought was never burned on the altar. It was given to the, it was waved before the altar, or they did whatever the thing with it. And then it was given to the priest and the priestess who lived there. But a lot of it had to be completely burned. One, because it was an offering to God, Elder Latham, I'm sure Chuck can probably teach about this much better. We have different points in the Bible that are strong, and this is not one of my strong suits. But because it was offered to God, everything that's in an animal that was dirty was not put on the altar. The guts, the internal organs, and those things that were all of it, that we don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
It refers a lot to the caul and the liver and all those things. I think they were put on the altar. But a lot of things, but the rest of it was thrown away. They just put the whole cow on there. You know, again, and they had to open him up and butcher him and put that on offer. Now, because they burned all these animals all the time, what do you think the temple would smell like? Or the outer court would smell like, huh?
Burnt meat.
Take your hand down and say what?
Funky.
Yeah, it would. You said funky. Did you say funky? Okay, that'll work. It smelled bad. It smelled worse than this building did when we came in here. So the incense also served to kind of deodorize the place. That was a perk. And the perfumes and things that they used in those days, even in medieval times, that's why the kings and queens wore those perfumes, because they didn't take baths.
Yeah.
Well, because bathing really became big in America, really since World War II. Before the baby boomers, of which I am one, who were born after World War II, born after 1945, people didn't take that many baths. They just didn't. If you went to it was only in recent years that we went to hotels in Europe that every room had a bath. That came at, America started that. That really did come from America.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the 90s, when we go to France and rent a room, you had to specifically say, now if you rented on the outskirts where all the hotels were new, then you get a bathroom. But in the inner parts of the city, you had to specifically say that you wanted a room with a bath. Let me see what this is turning in here. Pause. You can imagine when they butcher these hogs and cows. When Don and I were younger and we lived down in the South, they used to butcher hogs and cows. They butcher hogs on Thanksgiving Day, and it was just a long all day messy event, and you're only talking about one hog. And it smelled horrible and everything. So you figure it was bad. So anyway, let me get back to this altar. So they offered up incense on the altar all day. And Jeroboam stands by this altar, which is supposed to, and these incense represent prayers that go up to God. And when you pray, whenever you pray, you want an answer from God. And while they're by this altar, the prophet comes. Mm. Why does the prophet come? To give them an answer from God. Mm-hmm. And the prophet comes actually and tells them that they're not right. Tells them they're not right. God will come and not only tell you what's good for you, God also comes and tells you when you're wrong. Does that mean that he loves you? Absolutely, because just as parents we do. We not only tell our children when they're great, we also tell them when they are wrong so that they can not keep being wrong. But the intent is so that they will get right. Okay, let me go down to verse 3. And he gave a sign the same day. And Oh, this is what he says. This is what he says, Damascus. He says that the rate you're going, a king's going to come, and your child is going to be so evil, he's going to die on this altar. This is what the prophet says. This is how bad the people were off. This is how sinful they had become, how sinful Israel had become. And the prophet says he's going to have a son of Samuel, you know, and his bones are going to be burned on his altar. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against your line of kingdom is going to end. And as a sign, right now, this altar is going to break in half. And Jeroboam gets very angry, and he's going to grab him. And when he gets ready to grab him, what happens, Damascus? What happens to Koah? What happens before the altar breaks? When he gets ready to grab him, what happens to him?
He can't move.
Who knows?
He can't move.
His hand dries up. His hand shrivels up. When he gets ready to grab the man of God, what happens? His hand shrivels up. Would you like to be serving God in those days so that immediately when you do something wrong, something happens to you? Would you like that? It'd probably be better for us sometimes if it would, wouldn't it?
It would be, yes.
Because we do things and then we don't change, do we?
Mm.
And we need really for the things to change. So when the king gets ready to grab the man of God, in other words, I'm going to stop you. Oh, let me say this. killing, you know how they talk about don't kill the messenger? Killing the messenger does not kill the message.
No.
You know, you kill the messenger. You don't kill the message. You just kill the person who brought it. But whatever he said,
still
there.
Yeah.
So the king is angry because the prophet says, you're so evil. This kingdom is not going to last. He gets so angry, he's going to grab him. But this is a man of God. In those days, during the time of prophets, different from preachers and all of us, we don't have the power that they had, and God doesn't deal with us in the same way. The blessings are still here. God still heals, and God still does miracles, but not like in those days, because it's at the time, God is working hard to establish himself in an earth of very evil people, and there's only one set of people on the earth at the time who believe in the true God. That's the Jews. Mm-hmm. And when those people become evil, then God has no one to speak through but the few prophets and people who are still staying in God. It's like today, this country used to be a lot more in God than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, evil and unevil, evil and people who are not evil, at least went to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
Very few people there were. Oh, when I was growing up, people who didn't go to church, they were the scorn of the neighborhood. They were like, oh God, they were the most... You just consider them the most low class of people who lay around and drink on Sunday. Even when I was growing up, there were things that we didn't do on Sunday. You tell them to lie on Sunday.
Yeah.
You're doing this on Sunday, and you're doing this on Sunday. And the grounds, like these people like to play Pokemon. I went online the other day, and I was looking to see reviews that, you know, Promise is out there, see reviews, people that have set reviews for Promise. There's one review out there, one star, which I'm surprised that he even has one, and it's by some Pokemon person, and the only thing that's up there is their Pokemon symbol. They put it on there 8 months ago. I guess that's about when we put the locks on, put the gates up or whatever, so they're angry because they couldn't play Pokemon. Well, you know, I'm fine with the devil being angry about it. That lets me know it was the right thing to do. That lets me know it was right. So, during the earth after the flood, what happened during the flood, Tekoa? Noah's flood. What happened?
All the evil people drowned.
Yes, all the evil people drowned. That's a very good way of saying it. During Noah's flood, all the evil people drowned. How many people were left alive, Damascus? Yes, but how many people? How many children did he have? See, that's a story you need to read. A lot of times we think we know these stories, but we don't know them. We just heard people talk about them. Noah had three sons, and each one of his sons had a wife, and Noah had a wife. So how many people are those? And Noah had a wife. So how many people are those? Eight. Only eight people were left, and all the other people were drowned. And then when they came back, when people came back, they lived godly for a while, and then what did they do? Yeah, they stopped serving God again. So by the time that Jeroboam comes about, Jeroboam is the king that actually divided Israel. And that's a long story of why he did that too. But he divided Israel into Judah and Israel. By the time Jeroboam comes about, they're starting to be very evil because they're divided. But they're going to get worse. And this prophet comes along to let them know they're going to get worse. And so he's going to stop him by killing the messenger. He's going to grab him. But God in those days was much more pointed. You know, he didn't put up with a lot of anything. You could drop, you grab God's prophet, you drop dead. I hear preachers say these days, you talk about me, God will do this and God will do that. I'm not saying there are not some preachers that are worthy that if you talk about them, God will do this and God will do that. But they're very few and far in between, unfortunately. And we live in a different dispensation. If the Roman soldiers who hung Jesus up didn't drop dead, what makes you think if you talk about me, you're going to drop dead?
That's right.
If the soldiers that put nails in Jesus' hand didn't drop dead, how egotistical do I have to be the sort of person that you talk about Bishop Smith and you'll drop dead? If they didn't drop dead for Jesus, what makes you think they'll drop dead for me? Not going to happen. Now, God will get around to you sooner or later, but it's not the kind of thing like you, oh, don't put your mouth on that preacher. Well, if you're the kind of preacher that you really expect God to do something about people to talk about you, you must be a really, 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 really holy preacher.
Yeah.
And even in David's time, when Shimei, who hated David, was talking about David, and David's one of his generals said, "You want me to go there and kill him?" And David said, "No." He says, "This is probably the Lord telling me, you know, reminding me of different things." And sometimes people will talk about you. If you're living holy, people will talk about you. What they're doing is letting you know how the devil feels about you. Like the Pokemon person that posted one star on the internet, you just let me know how you feel about me. That's okay, because you know what? I feel the same way about the devil. We're even. We're not even evil. Even, because I hate the devil a lot more than you hate us. And that's what Pokemon is, if you ever look at it. Pokemon is a devil. You play it, do whatever you want with it. That's what it is. He comes to warn Israel that if you don't get things together, God is saying, this is what's going to happen to you. Okay, let me keep going. And he gave them that day a sign. He says, that's the other thing about prophets, Damascus in those days, that I wish I had more power to do. He gave them a sign. They said, well, how do we know you came from God? He said, this is going to happen. Your altar is going to break in half. They said, when? Now. It's going to break in half now. To let you know that. And so by breaking your altar in half, what is God saying? I don't want your sacrifices. Because you're not right. That's just why when we come to prayer and pray, one of the first things you have to do is ask God to forgive you, so that you are clean before God, because God does not accept the sacrifices of the wicked. God does not accept the sacrifices of the wicked. God does not accept the sacrifices of what?
The wicked.
The wicked. So when we come before God, we have to make sure that we are not wicked. Now, if someone say, I don't know about that. Well, I'll show you this, and then we'll move on. It says the sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination before the Lord. And I understand why that too, because the first thing that sacrifice has to do is cleanse you of all sins. And if your sacrifice isn't doing that, Proverbs what? Numbers 15:8. No, that's okay. I'll read it to you. It is 15:8. That's easy. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Sacrifices of the wicked. If you want God to hear your prayer, the first thing you have to ask God is to do what?
Forgive you.
Do what, Damascus? Yeah, the first, if you want God to hear your prayer, that's why in the Lord's Prayer we ask God to do what? And forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Yeah, if you want God to hear your prayer, the first thing you have to do is ask God to cleanse you and forgive you of all your sins. Then you can go before the Lord. Back to this. God in those days would move very swiftly when people did things that weren't right. In these days, we have mercy and grace. Now, if Damascus doesn't want to live, even now, Damascus is 12. You'll be 13 when? In October. Even now, everybody say now.
Now.
Meaning time-wise, today. Today, if Damascus does not want to have a love for God, he can choose to not to. He might not be able to choose about not coming to church, but he can choose not to have God.
Yeah.
I hope that's not true, but he can make that choice. Even today, if Dakota decides she doesn't want to believe in heaven, she can decide not to. So, well, why would I decide that? If you watch a lot of things that are against God or contrary to God, you can be persuaded not to want God. Like the Pokemon people that used to fill our parking lot up on Sunday playing Pokemon, they'd come to where the house of God is and would not step inside. That's very demonic.
Yes.
You can't get much worse than that. Back to when I was growing up. When I was growing up, people didn't believe on drinking on the church ground, smoking on the church ground, cussing on the church ground. You doing that on the church ground? Now they have no reverence. The idea that you would come and play Satan's game on the church's property without even thinking about it, that's a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a horrible thing. Had a few people say to me, I have a church. I go to church, and my thought was, then why don't you go play over there on their ground? No, Satan had earmarked this as a place for his people to come and play. You can't think of anything more demonic than that. And then the other reason why Satan had earmarked this as a place to come play, one, because it belonged to God, and two, because we weren't watchful.
Mm.
We weren't sending enough prayer to keep them away. We weren't doing, finally the Lord said to me, you need to block it off. We weren't moving in the spirit enough to keep them away. And the devil, in order to discourage us, was just letting them take over. I mean, one time, they had a Pokemon rally here. They were just Chandra called me or somebody called me. They were all around the building, surrounding God's building, playing Pokemon. My God, how evil can that be? When I look at whether or not this church is doing anything for God, I'm sure it is. But now we have to come off the defensive and go on the offense in our lives as well as in this church. We have to stop just asking God to keep us and defend us. Now we need to pray enough so we can push back and tell and say to Satan, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. We need to push back against the diseases and the things that come against us. Not just ask God to just keep us, and we just like we are with this disease, just kind of hunkered down, and we're waiting it out, which is what we need to do under these circumstances because we don't know enough not to. But in God, we're not supposed to be in hiding forever. Eventually, we're supposed to go out and fight. Our prayer life and our fight and our strength in praying in God. Is not really in our physical strength. Our strength and in God, our ability to fight against the devil and God is in our prayer life. We're no stronger than we have a prayer life. we're no stronger than our prayer life. That's where we start our battle. That's our base of operation is in our prayer life. This is where we get power to work against the powers of darkness. So God told me, in the interim, until we pray and get enough strength to spiritually keep the Pokemon people away, just put up a gate. Like walls around Jerusalem to keep their enemy out. They weren't strong enough physically to keep their enemy out, so they need to build the gate. They need to build the walls back, which is what they did. Until they could become more strong enough to keep them out like they could without walls. Well, Jerusalem never got to be that because they fought among themselves. House divided among itself cannot stand. And the Jews' biggest weakness was when they split, they started to fight among themselves. They actually made war among themselves. They had people come in to help them fight against one another. And then, doesn't that sound like us in churches today? Mm-hmm. Start to fight among yourselves. This person goes over and talks about the pastor, and that person goes over and talks about whoever they want to talk about. And all of a sudden, the church is split. I got my crew over here, and they got their crew over there. Well, if that's the case, then who's for God? No, you're right, Tacoma, because everybody's supposed to be on the Lord's side.
Yes.
Watch out for people who try and separate you while you're sitting in church. And tell them, no, we need to be on God's side. Maybe what Elder Reed said was the wrong thing to say, but that's okay. That's just Elder Reed. I'm not gonna get to the point now where I become a whole different faction in the church because I don't like Elder Reed. Matter of fact, I'm gonna do the opposite. I'm gonna pray and ask God to give me a love for her because we need to have unity.
I'm
gonna pray and ask God to work it out so we gonna play change Elder Reed. No, I'm not gonna necessarily pray that he change Elder Reed. I pray he changes me so that she doesn't affect me in such a way that I want to leave the house of God.
Yeah.
We all have our quirks. We just can't let them affect us to the point where we want to leave God.
Yes.
And the devil can make any one of them look like it's the worst thing that ever happened. Oh, Charlotte's just bad. I don't know. She's got her way about her, and so does everybody else. Damascus has his way, and so does Bishop Smith. But we can't let it be so. We have to say, but the way Bishop Smith is doesn't ruin my life. You know, the way Sean is doesn't ruin my life. Doesn't make my life difficult. You know, sort of person, the way Damascus is, doesn't ruin my life. I can deal with him being like he is. It doesn't matter if he takes boogers out of his nose and then picks his teeth with the same hands. It's okay. We can live with that. You know, just as long as we don't shake hands with him, no problem.
Yes.
What does it matter? You know? And that, but people will pull you to the side and just, you see, that's the way they are. And all of a sudden, you got this little huddle group of people. You want to go to dinner with us? Got this little huddle group of people. And you do all these things together. But you've all of a sudden, now the church doesn't do stuff together. So Israel goes into a faction. And why they divided, we'll talk about it at a different time because it's a whole lesson in itself. But it all starts with Solomon, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're divided. So God sent the prophet to say to them, y'all are not going to make it. Y'all are not going to make it. So when they're offering up their sacrifices to God because they're trying to reach God, God says, I'm going to tear your altar down because your altar is no good because you're not right. So he tears the altar in half. Shh, right there on the spot. All right, let's go ahead. Mm. Literally tears the altar. Mm. If you got an altar, which is like made out of rocks. Got my altar. Got all my wood and stuff up here like this. And the flames are coming up. Raising an altar. Flames are coming up. And the smell is going up to heaven. Altar. What God does is, he literally, you know, tears their altar in half and calls it to be just a heap of rocks on the ground. No more altar. No more incense. Not going to listen to you until you get yourself together. God's not going to hear your prayer until you learn to ask God to forgive you. God can't forgive you until you stop doing what you're doing. You cannot be forgiven while you're doing what you're doing. No forgiveness for Damascus. Now, you can ask God to forgive you. Stop. And then be overwhelmed and go do it again. You can ask God to do what? Forgive me. But I do have to have some design or desire in saying, Lord, when you forgive me, I'm not going to do this again. Now, many times we fail at that. Oh, God, I've failed at this so many times. Telling the Lord, I'm not going to do something again. And then went and did it again. The idea is, and somebody said, well, if you're going to keep on doing it, I didn't keep on doing it. I just got overwhelmed again. Well, then what you going to do? I'm going to ask God to forgive me again because I'm trying to get to the point where I'm not doing it. But I can't be in the process of still doing it and say, Lord, you're just going to have to forgive me for what I'm doing. Lord, just go. That doesn't work. You have to have the mindset at least to say, what I'm doing is wrong and it needs to stop. Mm. What I'm doing is wrong and it needs to stop. And so you ask God to forgive you and strengthen you and keep you. And it does work. You do stop eventually.
Yes.
You do stop. Some things you stop immediately. Some things take time. They're so ingrained. Mm. And if anybody says, well, ain't nothing supposed to take time, you're lying to me because I don't know anybody living on earth who has stopped everything they need to stop doing in God at one time. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody. Some people have stopped more than others, and you can tell it in their anointing and their power, but I know of no one, I don't know of anyone who everything they need to do in God came immediately, not like Paul. People like to compare themselves to Paul. Mm-hmm. When Paul got up, he was holy, 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 holy. Pure and simple. Get back to where I am. Let's see. Verse 3. Everybody there?
Yes.
And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are punished shall be poured out. Well, I didn't pour out my ashes. Okay, that's good. I didn't pour out my ashes. You got to know this is not, you know, all the details are covered because this is not fiction. This is true.
Yes.
And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar of Bethel, he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so he could not pull it again to himself, couldn't close it anymore. The altar was rent or torn in half, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. You'd think everybody would be scared to death at this, don't you? I would be. And the king answered and said to the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me that mine hand will be restored again. And the man of God besought God. And the king's hand was restored to him again and became as it was before. Healed him immediately. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself and I will give thee a reward. Now, the king's going to reward him. Remember now, for us who are preaching and teaching, where is our reward? In heaven.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you don't give the pastor an offering or something from time to time, or people don't give you something or bless you or take you to dinner or anything. But our ultimate reward is in heaven.
Yes.
And in this particular day, who has done all the work, Damascus? Sit up, Damascus. Come on. Work with me here. Are you tired? Well, sit up. Is that how you sit in school all day with your head in your lap? Tell the truth. No, well, don't sit in there like that. You're too big for that now. And I'm trying to make this lesson as simple as possible. Because it needs to be. Who tore up the altar? God did. Who caused the ashes to spill out? God did. So when the king, so who healed the king's hand?
God did.
Huh?
God did.
God did. The answer to every one of these is
God.
God did.
Yes.
And the man of God says, for this day at this time, God told me not to take a reward. He told me just do what I'm doing, go home.
Mm-hmm.
No celebration, no parade. God gets all the glory. This time around, sometimes I go to places and preach, and they'll lift me an offering. And the Lord will say to me, before they even start to do it, you don't need this offering. They need it more. Or give this offering back. It would be good. Because I didn't come. I wasn't hired to come.
Yeah.
I came because it was what I do in God.
Yeah.
And you have to obey God. You have to obey God. This man says, so the king says to him, come home with me and I'll give you a reward in 7. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. 9. Everybody read. For it was so charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way he came, way that he came to Bethel. He says, the Lord told me when I came, he says, while I'm here, I'm not supposed to dine and feast with you. Why not, Chandra? Why do you think not? Let's speculate. Now, this is speculation. Speculation. Why do you think he can't eat with the king, Damascus? Why do you think God told him, don't stay and eat with him? Why?
Because the king is evil.
Because the king is evil.
Yes.
What word do you use?
Corrupted.
I'm not sending you down there to be a part of these people. Go down there and tell them, because they're not repenting, Elder Reed. Go down there and tell them, your kingdom's going to come to an end. This is what's going to happen. And go on your way. And tear their altar up. Why tear up their altar? You don't want to hear to them today, repent. And this is a false altar, isn't it?
Yes.
It's at Bethel.
Yes.
Not at Jerusalem. And God says, tell them, I'm not going to hear from them from there. No, they're using this as an excuse not to do what they're supposed to do. And it just goes on. Things that I could draw from that about how we live today, about I pray anywhere I want, I can do all this. You have to pray where God says. Even if you pray in your house, the Spirit has to say, and you should pray in your house, and yet the Spirit has to say that God will receive prayer there. So this man says, I'm not going to go home with you now and party and eat and do all these kind of things. I just told you, why not? You're an enemy of God. God's not with you. I don't want to be among you. And God told him, don't go the way you came. Well, I can speculate on that. You know, he's made the king mad, not going to eat with him. Probably needs to go another way leaving. No telling what's going to happen to him. Obviously, there's some danger out there somewhere.
Yeah.
And God has prepared a way for him. The way that God prepares for you is the way that you should go. When the Spirit says to you, don't go here or don't do this or don't do that. And this also goes to the point of whether you know the Spirit or not. You have to listen to God. Sometimes when you want to do something, and a person of God, a man of God, or somebody, a woman of God who's praying will say to you, you know, are you sure you need to do that? Yeah, I'm going to do it. Well, you know, and then they'll say, well, you know, it's kind of bad. You need to do this and that. You're going to do it anyway. God tells this man, don't hang around these people. King's going to reward you. King's going to do all this. No, then the king's going to feel good about himself. I don't want him to feel good about himself. Tell him, you're going to die and leave. It's just that simple. And then the king can turn to me and ask, and God is saying, then he can turn to ask me, don't let me die.
Yeah.
But I'm sending you to tell him, y'all going to fall apart, and then you leave. And don't go the way you came, because they'll be watching. Do something else. Stand the will of God. You have to listen to God. When God sends you a message and says to you, what you're doing is not good, God has done. Until you change your mind. Sometimes he will say, what you're doing is just not right. And God is done. And there's no need of you keep praying, what's wrong with it, God? Or, you know, I don't see no. He has already gone through the stages of saying to you, don't do this, don't go there, whatever. And finally, God will just say to you, that needs to stop. Stop explaining it. Stop messing with it. Stop it now. That's what God says. And then he's not going to say anything else to you about this. Not going to say. And not only so, but the man of God says, and I'm not going to hang around for you to try and plead with me. God told me when I told you this, get out, leave. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. So, he says, in 9, for it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way thou came. So he went another way and returned not by the way he came to Bethel. So he starts out Does he start out to do what the Lord tells him to do?
Yes.
You don't know Damascus because you didn't read with me. Verse 10. Let's read. So he went another way and returned not by the way he came. In other words, he went a different way than how he came. Does he start out to obey God? He does, doesn't he? He's told him what God says to do. He's left. He didn't stay for the after party. He's really obeying God. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also their father. Everything the man said to the king, I mean, they were like a tape recorder. They told him about the altar being rent, told him about the king offering him to feed him and everything, and the man said, can't do it. God said, don't stay here with y'all. Get out of Bethel, because Bethel is evil, and don't go the way you came. But then there's this old prophet who lives there. Who lives there? Among all these evil people. He's still there. You're in this. I don't want to compare it to an old church, because their old church is where people live in, and I understand why they're there. They've been there all their life, and I get that. And they're living holy, and they're all right with it. I get that. So once upon a time, I just say, they sit up in some church, the church is all lost or whatever. Well, no, I'm not going to use that, because there are some churches that people ought to get out of, but they're probably not many of the old ones. They're probably a lot of the new ones. Mm-hmm. You know, you can name names on that one, but we'll leave that alone. The point being is, this man lives in this city. He's an old prophet who lives in this city. He's an old prophet. The Bible doesn't say he's a prophet. He has some, he is known, if the Bible says he's a prophet, then to at least to some people, he has a reputation of speaking for God. But he's old now. Now, what does that say about me, and what does that say about us as we get older? You can do a lot of things that are right when you're young in God. And when you get old, you can stop doing them. You can stop speaking for God. You can become exalted. You can come this or that or the other. This man is living there, and speculate with me, Elder Reed, and tell him, Sister Gamble, whoever. Why do you think this old man wants this prophet to come home with him? He's probably trying to, what's the word I want to use, Chandra? He's probably trying to add credibility to himself again. That's just speculative. He's probably trying to make people believe, he's trying to show that, you know, I'm still a respectable prophet, perhaps. I have no idea of what it is. But, obviously, he doesn't respond like he used to, for whatever reason. And, obviously, he's not above lying. He probably didn't used to, but now he's gotten to the point where he doesn't mind manipulating things, for whatever reason. This young man, this young prophet has come, spoken the word of God, and this old prophet wants to claim some kinship or some, wants to be in fellowship with him. Wants to be in fellowship with him. If you want to be in fellowship with somebody who's doing the will of God, you know what you need to do? You need to get in the will of God yourself.
Yes.
You want to have fellowship or credibility with someone who's, here's young so-and-so over here, he's praying prayers and healing everybody. You don't want to draw him over to you. You want to go over to him. He's praying. He's healing everybody. He's doing everything. You don't, I'm going to make him part of my circle. He didn't need to be part of your circle. You need to be part of his.
His, yes.
Because obviously he's obeying God. He's healing and you're not.
Yeah.
But you want to make it. You want to make him an extension of you. He doesn't need to be an extension of you. You're not doing anything.
That's right.
You might have used to. But you're not doing anything now. So now you're going to make it look like you're working through them. No, that's not going to work. That's just speculative. Mm-hmm. But I suspect it might be closer to right than wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He says in this, 12, this is where I am, Damascus, 12. And their father said unto them, their father being the old prophet, what way went he? For his sons had seen the way that the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said to his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that cameth from Judah? He said, I am. And he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. And this is the thing that stands out to me at this very moment. You notice that he says, I'm not supposed to eat or do anything in this place. So, like I said earlier, obviously, God considers this place evil and unclean, and he doesn't want him to stay there any longer than he has to.
Yeah.
Go down there and witness to these people and get out.
Yeah.
Tell them what I said and get out. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn thee again to go by the way which thou camest. And he said unto them, the old prophet said, I've been around for a long time. I am a prophet also as thou. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. He lied to him. You know, I don't have to think about that for a long time. How someone could be a prophet of God and speak in the name of God and not be telling the truth. But he lied to him. What he said to him was not true. Did he think it was God and it was not? Because sometimes when the devil speaks, sometimes people think it's God or not. And sometimes in their own minds, they think themselves so great or whatever they decide. Everything they think is God. He says, an angel told me. What kind of angel? An angel from where? Satan himself appears as an angel of
light. Yes.
So he lied to him. So what do we know? The angel sure wasn't from God. Mm-hmm. And we know it was not the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost does not lie.
No.
Right?
Yes.
He's the spirit of truth.
Yes.
And the devil is the inventor of lies. He's the father of lies. But he lied to him. What he said is not true. An angel told me to come get you. What he says is not true. And he's an old prophet. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. What did he do? He allowed this prophet. Now here's the thing about it for me and Sean Genesis Gamble. Here's the thing about it that I'm trying to be aware of. If you're still hearing from God, why do I need to have to come down here and tell Jeroboam what God said? And if you're still a prophet, and these people are as evil as they are, and the only altar in town is here at Bethel, and God doesn't receive sacrifice from that. You see, you got to think about all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're still hearing from God, how are you still here?
Because I should tell you to leave too, yeah.
How are you still here? And if you're still prophesying, if you're prophesying of God, why did I have to come? All these things come into it. But the young prophet relies on his old prophet's reputation, obviously. And he has some respect for him. And he seems to think that because he's an old prophet and been around for a long time, he's incapable of lying. Because he's been around for a long time,
yes,
and probably has had power in the past.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe. Because I do know when Jeroboam went out, I do know that he called a lot of really base people to him. That's what Trump reminds me of. And made them priests,
yeah,
instead of Levites. But it doesn't say he was a priest. It says he's a prophet. So that, I'll take the Bible at its word and say if he has the title prophet in the Bible and the Holy Ghost says so, at some point in time he's like Balaam. Obviously he had some power with God, but I don't know where it is now. So we're not saying, oh, all these things he did in the past, he's been a prophet for the last 15 years. He done this. He probably did do all of them, but he's not doing them now. Not only so. He's also gotten to a point of he's a prophet, hearing from God, but either he doesn't mind lying outright, or he's listening to something now that is not God. When it says, but the old prophet says, but he lied to him, might not just been outright purposely lying to him. The point of it is
what he told the man of God concerning hearing from the Lord an angel was not true. He might have thought it was from God. Maybe so. Maybe he thought it was an angel from God. But it was not true. He's unreliable. But the young prophet, because he respects him, obviously, because he's obviously in the past, he's a prophet. This man's a prophet. How can he lie? He can, if he's no longer hearing from God. Mm-hmm. But he's done so many miracles. Yes, so he bailed. But he's no longer hearing from God. So he goes out here and gets him. It seems to be important to this prophet that this man spend some time with him. The people know that he spent time with him. So then what happens? Oh, and it came to pass as they set the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back. The word of the Lord came. You know, before, the prophet himself says the word of the Lord came to him. It doesn't say the word of the Lord came to the prophet and said to him, go bring him back. He said, the prophet says, an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. This is what the prophet said. Now, the Holy Ghost steps in. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but cameth back and hath eaten bread and drank in the place which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of their fathers. He says, all of a sudden, he realizes, he says, oh, the Lord said to me, you've made a mistake. God told you not to come here, told you not to stay here, not to eat here, not to do it. And now he's going to put all the shift, all the blame, put it on him. You're going to be destroyed. Well, it wasn't his fault. The old prophet told him to come. No, God's word was straight to him. He didn't have to hear from somebody else telling him it was God to stay. God speaks directly to him. At the very least, he should have asked God, have you changed your mind? When you're doing the will of God, be leery of people who will say, will get you off course. Yeah. Gets him off course. God specifically says that you're not supposed to eat in this place. He should have told the old prophet, I appreciate the invite, but God told me not to eat here, not to stay here, get out of here. And he had left. Mm-hmm. And he let himself be brought back. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing in God. He was in the will of God, and he let someone get him out of the will of God for whatever their reasons were. Why does he let him do this? Why does he let him do that, Chandra? Why, Tekoa? You raise your hand.
Because he let the prophet do that because he respects the prophet because he's older and he thinks that since he's older he has power that he should know what he's talking about.
You know what? If there was an alphabet that was higher than the A+, I would surely give it to you because that's exactly right. He, because he respects this old prophet and what he probably used to be.
Yes.
What he used to be. And his respect for him. But you can't respect anybody so much that you disobey God.
Yes.
And then it comes to be a point where if you're speaking to God and God tells you when you leave town to leave, leaving town directly after you finish also means don't go near this old prophet either.
Yeah.
Don't go over there either. Yeah. I just wanted to, you know, he came out and I thought I'd go pay him. No, God said, if you go. Go.
Yes.
Go. Yeah, you're very right, Tekoa, because he respects him and because of what he used to be, probably. And obviously, he used to be something because the Bible refers to him as a prophet. But he is no longer, you know, he's lost his anointing. No longer speaking for God. When it says the word of the Lord came to him, then it comes to him, comes to the prophet because God isn't giving him a prophet. It doesn't say God gives the old prophet a prophecy. It says
it occurs to him, you know what? You've really messed this young man up. Now he decides that, well, you know, Lord really didn't tell me to go get you. You really, you know, you're off. That's kind of dirty, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of kicks him to the curb. And when he was gone, the lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they said, they came and told in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back had heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord delivered him unto the lion, which has torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saddle the ass, and they saddled him, and he went and found the carcass. And it goes on, it goes on, it goes on. And then we get into the carcass wasn't eaten, and it wasn't that, and all these things, and that's a different story. But the point being, by him getting out of the will of God, what happened to him, Damascus? Because God had told him, and then there's something else you need to know, too. There's a difference between when I'm preaching and I'm teaching and I'm encouraging you. Hopefully, I'm encouraging you by way of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to make sure it's by way of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit also uses all of my experiences and things that I have seen and where I have been. And he picks and chooses which ones can be used to any building up and encouraging on your part. Our part. And then he's very strict on concerning me about doing things that are not the will of God, but they work to my advantage. This old prophet had really gotten off. He had really gotten off. He should have, if he was really still speaking for God,
he would have told Jeroboam about this altar a long time ago.
He would have said something about this before then. I don't know. We could talk about this forever. Perhaps when his sons come back and tell them about all this power this young man has, maybe he senses it's time for me to rise up again. It'd be a lot of things.
Yeah.
I know that he does go get the man's body and bury it eventually because it says so in the next portion. But he really got him off.
Yeah.
Now, what do I want to say to the young people, old people, and everybody else? Watch out for people who will get you off. When you're in church and you're going in God, I know this church doesn't have everything that young people would like to have. It doesn't have everything I would like for it to have. You don't have to necessarily feel like, I'm not trying to make anybody feel like, I don't wish there were more people. I do. I wish there were more musicians. I wish there were more everything. But in the interim, I'm not willing for anybody to get me off in God or to stop me from going to heaven. That I'm not willing to let you do. What few things God has asked me to do, I am trying to do. Mm-hmm. And this really was easy for the young guy. Once he went in there, and if I went in there and saw all those miracles, and this is another reason why. It doesn't say this man doesn't go to heaven. I'm sure he did. So you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. You don't have that sort of relationship with God and then not end up going to heaven. It's like Moses that dies on the mount because of what they did because of how they treated Israel at the rock. He smote the rock. Aram died in the wilderness. Miriam died in the wilderness. They went to heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, they died saved. They cut their ministry short. Yeah, it's probably not Moses. Moses was 120. He ain't gonna live forever.
Yeah.
Cut this young man's ministry short, but I'm sure he didn't go to hell over this. Sure, yeah, as sure as I can be. As much mercy and grace as God gives, yeah. He just obeyed God. He died and went to hell. You can believe that if you want to. God has more mercy and more grace.
Yes, he does.
It's mercy and his grace for that. He was trying to be respectful and do, give honor to who. It's just one of those cases, Chandra, where he gave honor to someone where honor was not due.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful about giving honor to someone where honor is not due.
gave honor to someone who was not due any honor. Not by him. Didn't mean he didn't treat the man bad. It just that by him going to this man's house for dinner, he was honored. And God, that was not well with God. This man, the old prophet deserved no honor. Maybe at one point in his life he might have. Yes. Probably, because when you read in your Bible, especially Ezekiel, he probably ended up going to hell because one, he's a liar, and the Bible says that all liars shall have their place in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And the other reason why he probably ended up going to hell is because the Bible in Ezekiel and all those warns prophets and preachers about saying things, about saying the Lord had said something when the Lord had not said. Immediately, when he says to the man of God, an angel came and told me to come back. Maybe something did appear to him and tell him. But immediately when he found out that that was not the Lord, when the Lord said to him, "You, that wasn't true, that wasn't right," that makes him a what kind of prophet?
A lying prophet.
A lying prophet or what else? What do we call them?
A false prophet.
And what's God's penalty for false prophets?
Death.
Death. The penalty for being a false prophet is what?
Death.
Not only physical death, but death. Now, if he somehow repented, I'm sure God would hear his repentance. Well, we aren't told that he ever repented. So if he died in the shape he's in right here, then yes, he went to hell. If he repented, God would forgive him.
Yeah.
But his story ends. Look at verse 33. Everybody see this? Mm-hmm. After this thing, you aren't reading verse 33. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the Lord's people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became a priest of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and destroy it from off the face of the earth. After they had done all this, they did not repent. They didn't repent. If they didn't repent, then the old prophet probably didn't repent either, because he stayed there. He continued to stay. So did he go to hell? I would probably think so. Because he had obviously gotten off. And this is the scary part. It's the scary to me. If I stop praying, I might not have all the power that a lot of people claim to have or whatever. But I'm afraid to stop praying because I don't want to hear from something that's not God.
Yeah.
I might not. Sometimes they're like, "Hey, you got no gift of word of wisdom, gift of word of knowledge." I have more of a gift of word of knowledge and a gift of word of wisdom than you think. Mm-hmm. Than a lot of people think. But for what I do have and how I preach and teach, I am deathfully, whatever the word, how they use that phrase. I am very, 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 very much concerned and afraid of saying something that God has not said, or explaining the word of God in a way that is not the Lord. Of that, I'm afraid of. I don't ever want to be away from prayer. Prayer life might not be the greatest in the world. Everybody can improve their prayer life, and I'm working on improving mine. And we need to, we ought to, we should, we must. But I do know I can't stop praying, at least in the measure of prayer that I do pray, and I can't stop reading the Bible or stop listening to the Spirit, because I very much don't ever want to say that the Lord has said something when God has not said it. And so when people do things, I examine it. He should have examined and thought about it. Where this prophet is, God specifically said there, and this is the eye opener for us, because many of us would have done the same thing. Except for, what's the catch here? God said, "Don't stay here. Don't eat with anybody." Got the clue now?
Yes.
Not just don't eat with the king. He said, "Don't eat with
anybody."
And the, anybody that God's probably concerned with is not the king. It's the prophet. He tells him not to eat with anybody. God does not want to put his stamp of approval on this prophet anymore. He's done with him. That's over. Questions? Yes.
And we love people, and we love them, and we love them and respect them.
The biggest things are the smallest things, even though if God said, Chandra, you know, maybe you shouldn't do the science here. You know, God tells you to go, and he tells you to do something specific. Not you, just me. But me still just being a mere mortal with all the power, and I'm so holified and sanctified. It's something that it's like, it's just still within us to kind of not do what we want to do, but the only thing I can come up with is just like,
you
I'm
can say
no
what we
want to
do.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be true? We're human.
Yeah.
What?
I was going to say the other thing is people respect people over other people. I mean, I have an opinion of a scripture, and you have an opinion of a scripture, and because of who you are and who I respect you to be, I will do what you say to do because. I might think that you hear from God more than me or better than I do.
That too. I don't know how great this old prophet's reputation is. I don't know if he has a reputation from hearing God in the past. It makes a point of saying he's an old prophet, which means that he's had his day, and that he is classified as a prophet means that at some point in time he had to hear from God. But the fact that he's sitting down in Jeroboam's city, sitting down here. And sin has overwhelmed it, and it's they no longer hear from God, and I have to send it. I'm sending you down there, and you're gonna, and their altar is gonna break in half, which signifies they have no fellowship with me anymore. Mm-hmm. They no longer have an altar.
Right. Yeah.
So you know, now we're reading this. We know the whole story. We can say, God, what a mistake, until it comes to us, and then. But it's there so that we learn to also examine why are things the way they are with this old prophet. And does it ever get to a point where, because I'm appointed as a prophet, does it ever get to a point where you need to examine whether or not God is still speaking to me or not? Or are you just going to always keep going back to what I did 10, 15, 20 years ago? Gotta be.
Yes.
Ain't no way in the world he'd lie, because I remember 30 years ago when such and such and such and such. Yeah, I remember 40 years ago. Da, 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 da. Yes, but we're talking about today. So obviously, this prophet had some respect at some point in time, because when he tells this young prophet something that is totally contrary to what God says to him, he says, oh, an angel came to me and told me you can come back. And the man says, okay, and goes. It hasn't occurred to him that the word that the Lord gave to him is still true. He should have said, oh, I thank you for the invitation, but an angel told you. That's second hand. And then third hand, by the time it gets to me, God told me directly not to eat in that city.
God had changed his mind.
Not
going to
eat in that city. God told me not to eat in that city. Well, now you and I can sit here and say, we can see his point. We get it. We watched this whole movie. Now we get the clue. It's like watching the movie Sixth Sense. And at the very end, you figure out, oh, he did it too. You have to trust the Spirit in people. You do, but you
judge the people by how close they are to the word of God and how they move in God. Yeah. What makes a false prophet a false prophet? How many false prophecies does a prophet have to make to be a false prophet?
One.
So the best thing you can do is not call yourself a prophet unless all your prophecies come true. You can just say, the Lord speaks to me sometimes, and I think it's the word of the Lord, and do this and do that. But don't classify yourself as a prophet unless all your prophecies come true.
Yes.
And that way, if I say, Lord, Donna, you know, I think the Lord is telling me that what you need to do is this and that and the other. And she'll say, okay, well, I'm going to give that a try. And then if it doesn't work, I can come back and say, well, I guess that wasn't the Lord. And because I never claim to be, you know, I'm just trying to listen to the Spirit myself. And I also understand that much of everything that comes to my mind is not the Holy Ghost. I still have this, as Sister Gamble, I still got this human mind. Mm-hmm. Everything that comes is not the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I was a prophet that had the power that this young man had. I mean, he's speaking directly from God. Mm-hmm. You can really lay hands on him, your hands draw up. He says your altar's going to fall apart. It crashes and burns right in front of his face.
Yeah.
How much more power do you need than that? He not only goes down and speaks to Jeroboam, who's a strong king. God is with him so much, he won't let the king literally touch him. Because the first instinct of Jeroboam is, you come here and tell me my kingdom, God don't like my kingdom, you will tear my altar down. I can fix that. I'll kill you. And God is saying, no, you won't. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's why as we're growing more strong, we're growing stronger. I was reading in the other day in one of the books the other day, we're growing stronger, and the Lord is saying, I was reading Watchman Nee, he was talking about pray, give us this day our daily bread. Talks not only talks about our needs, but also talks about our protection.
Yes.
He says, because what the church needs to pray and ask God to strengthen them and keep them and protect them, he says, because as the church grows stronger, the attack of the devil becomes greater.
Greater, yes.
So you're going to really need God to protect you. When you really start praying, you're going to really need God to protect you and watch over you. You really are. When you start praying, you're going to really need God to watch over you, because as you become stronger in God, Satan steps up his attack concerning you. But don't be afraid. Just trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with God. So this man goes down here and says what he says. And my goodness, the power of God is so great, he won't even let the king touch him. King reaches out to touch him, doesn't even get his hand on him, his hand draws up. Then he has to turn around and show God and let the king know this is God's power, because he prays for him, stretches it back out.
Yeah.
So when it's time to leave, he can say to the king, no, I don't want to eat with you. Which normally should have been what? An offense.
Yes.
An insult to the king. You don't want to eat with the king?
Yeah.
So no, I don't want to eat with you. And I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. Not going back the way I came. So, you know, don't bother with no ambushes or nothing like that. But then he goes out after obeying God all this time. This is what makes it so dangerous. You're loving the Lord and you're obeying God. And then you let someone come along and get you off because of their reputation. Because of what they used to do or where they've been. Yeah, true enough. At one point in time, obviously, this has been a prophet of God. But he's not prophesying for God now.
Mm-hmm.
And this young man lets him just completely manipulate him and turn him around. Why? Oh, it's prophet so-and-so that said that. Got to be right.
No, it
doesn't. Yes. So how would you know the prophet so-and-so is not right? Look around. Look around. Look at all that's going on. And you can tell, he might have used to have it, but suspect today. It's just that he's, please stop, it's 4:12. Let me see where they are in the back of the heaven, front of what they're doing. You can stop the recording.
Yes, thank you.